What a pleasure to welcome you back to an Uplifting Word radio broadcast. Before we go to today's message, let me remind you about our latest book entitled Profiting from the Path of Most Resistance. Maybe you can remember PMR, Path of Most Resistance. We're charging $10 per book, plus a little shipping, but these books will be a blessing to you. We deal with life's unfairness and God's goodness. We show how that the path of most resistance that many of us walk can become our best friend. It also will help you really fall more in love with Jesus than you've ever loved him before. So you can write us at an Uplifting Word, P.O. Box 61011, Corpus Christi, Texas 78466. Or you can call us at 991-6006. Area code 361-991-6006 and order Profiting from the Path of Most Resistance. Let's go to the Word today. We're going to share with you removing finality from failure. Removing finality from failure. The Scripture says that it was really dark one night toward the end of Jesus' life on earth. He had gathered with his apostles in an olive grove outside the walls of Jerusalem. Must have been very quiet that evening. Jesus was seeking God, but suddenly in the distance you could hear a band of men approaching. They were speaking angrily. Some were carrying torches. Most were carrying weapons. They were coming to arrest Jesus. The Scripture says as these men surrounded Jesus and the apostles, that everyone deserted him and fled. All those apostles who had professed their devotion to Jesus deserted him and fled. It goes on and tells us that the arresting officer seized a young man who followed Jesus. Now, this young man is unnamed. He wasn't an apostle. He was a follower of Jesus, true. The Bible says that the arresting officer seized him, but the young man fled naked. He pulled out of his garment, leaving his garment behind. He was so terrified, he just had to get away, and he fled unclothed. Most Bible scholars feel this was Mark, the writer of the book, or the gospel we call Mark. That night of Jesus' arrest, Mark failed Jesus. That was about the year 33 AD. Many years later, probably 10 or 11 years later, Mark was invited by Paul and Barnabas to go on the first missionary journey. The first missionary journey by Christian men. Paul and Barnabas sailed from Syria to Cyprus. Then they sailed from the island of Cyprus to the country we call Turkey. And the Bible records that Mark did something in Turkey that we just don't understand. Please read with us Acts chapter 13, verse number 13. Here the Bible says,
"From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem."
Scripture says John left them. His name is John Mark. So Mark, for some reason or another, left Barnabas, his relative, and Paul. He deserted them and returned to the comfort and safety of Jerusalem. So Mark failed twice. He failed Jesus, deserted Jesus when he was arrested, and then he failed his relative Barnabas and the Apostle Paul on their first missionary journey. Instead of supporting them and helping them, he deserted them and fled back to Jerusalem. But you know, in spite of these two failures, Mark became a success. He wrote the first of the four Gospels that tell us about Jesus. And as I was meditating on this man that we would consider a failure who became a success, I began seeing some ideas of how we can remove finality from failure. Because we all go through times of failure. It's inescapable. But some of us choose to make failure final. We can't get away from it. We consider ourselves a failure for the rest of our lives, and others of us go on with life. Okay. We remove finality from failure by remembering that failure is an event. For 2,000 years, people have been reading about Mark's failures, deserting Jesus, deserting Paul and Barnabas. We all know about that. But you see, God used him anyway. Because failure is an event that happens to a person. Failure is not a person. Whenever you call yourself failure, you are misnaming yourself. Whenever you call others failure, you are misnaming them. Because failure is not a person. Failure is an event. The 5:30 news every day of the week is an event. Going to work is an event. Lunch is an event. A football game is an event. They all have a beginning and they have an ending. So failure is the same way. Failure is an event. It is not a person. We've got to get that in our head and quit considering ourselves failures. We experience events called failure. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, please. Chapter 24, verse number 16.
For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again.
It's talking about a righteous person, not a bad person. It's talking about a child of God, not a child of the devil. And it says, even though a child of God falls seven times, they rise up again. Because failure is not a person. It's an event. We can leave it behind. We can go on with life. Let's read Psalm 37, verse number 24.
Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand.
How plain. Though we stumble, yes, every one of us stumbles, but we will not fall headlong. We will not fall to flounder the rest of our life in failure, because God's hand supports us. Brother, sister, no failure is terminal. You can recover from all failure. I think that's one of the reasons God looked down on earth and chose Mark to write the first gospel. Mark's such a complete example of a person who fails without becoming a failure. No failure is terminal. We can recover from all failures. Let me share with you a verse that really means a lot to me. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32. The scripture says,
And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets.
I read this scripture. It lists some of the Old Testament heroes we read about and respect. And as I read this list, I realized every one of them failed. Some of them failed very grandly. And yet, God lists them in this chapter of Old Testament heroes. None of their failures were terminal. They all recovered. So you can too. Mark was a success. He wasn't a failure. Mark was a success to whom failure occasionally happened. Same way with us. God did not create one human to be a failure. That never crossed his mind. He created every one of us to be successful. And although he created us to be successful, occasionally we're going to go through times of failure. But we can recover. Let's read about us. Jeremiah, please. Chapter 17. Now, I love the Bible because the Bible tells you how God sees you. And here, let's look into the Word of God and discover how God thinks about you and me. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8.
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit.
Here the scripture describes you and me. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. And then he compares us to a tree. A tree that never loses its leaf, isn't afraid of drought, always bears fruit, doesn't worry when heat comes. It's a description of a success. And that's you, brother. That's me. We were all designed to be successful. Jeremiah 29:11. Many of us can probably quote this verse. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Now put your name in there. I know the plans I have for Bill, declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for Susie, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's a description of God's plan for you. And it's a description of a success, not a failure. So, brother, sister, you should always regard yourself as a success to whom failure occasionally happens. Mark passed through events called failure on his way to success. Same way with all of us. We are passing through events called failure on our way to success. We enter events and we leave events. We go to dinner and we finish dinner. We go to the job, we come home from the job. These are all events. So, brother, sister, please remind yourself, you are a success. Don't ever use that word failure when describing yourself or anyone else around you. You are a success on your way to success, even though you have to sometimes pass through events called failure. Let me ask you to read another verse about yourself. Proverbs, please, chapter 4, verse 18.
The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day.
Did you hear that? It's saying that the path of the righteous, the path of the child of God, is like the first gleam of dawn that does what? That shines ever brighter to the full light of day. Several years ago, Dolores and I gave my parents a different kind of Christmas gift. You could not wrap this gift up in paper and bow. We gave them a night at a condominium on Padre Island. Of course, we went also. So we spent the night in this beautiful condominium facing the Gulf of Mexico. I guess this must have been December the 26th. It was a beautiful winter in South Texas. The Gulf was calm and blue. Sky was clear. Temperature very pleasant. Well, I decided I wanted to see Proverbs 4:18. So before the sun came up on the next morning, I went to the beach. It was pitch black. Stars and beautiful morning. But I stood there on the beach in the darkness because I wanted to see Proverbs 4:18. Again, Dee, could you read it for us, please?
The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn.
The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. I had never really paid attention to the first gleam of dawn. Well, I stood there looking out toward the east, and suddenly there was a faint blue, light blue line. I imagine it about an inch long, about half an inch tall. This faint blue line on the horizon. And I realized that was the first gleam of dawn. Oh, the sky was still black as ever. The stars and the planets were still shining, but you could barely see on the eastern horizon the first gleam of dawn. I stood there and that faint blue line became 2 inches long, 3 inches long, became higher and higher above the horizon. You still could not see the globe of the sun. The sky began lightening. The stars began growing dimmer as the sky became more and more bright. But still, there was no sun to be seen. But I knew it was there. As I watched this first gleam of dawn grow brighter and brighter, I remembered Proverbs 4:18. It tells you, brother, sister, what your future is going to be like. The first gleam of dawn tells us that's what our life is like. Let's read that scripture one more time. Proverbs 4, verse 18.
The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day.
Shining ever brighter to the full light of day. That's God's will for you. No matter the failures that you committed, no matter the failures that others committed against you or brought into your life or affected your life, God intends for you to enter the full light of day. And so I stood there on that beach. Sure enough, soon there was the upper edge of the globe we call sun. And I stood there and the sun came higher and higher above the horizon until there was a full globe shining in all its brilliance. And I thought Proverbs 4:18 beautifully describes people who are successes, passing through events called failure on our way to becoming everything God planned for us. So we want to put events behind us. We want to put failures behind us and go on with our lives. Let's read this beautiful verse. If you have a pencil, please jot down Isaiah 43, verse number 18.
Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past.
Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Dwell means to meditate on, to reconsider, to bring up constantly in our memory. Don't dwell on the past. Let it go. So first of all, we remove finality from failure by remembering that failure is an event, not a person. Secondly, we want to let God work out the effect of failure. We want to let God work out the effect of failure. You see, so often we, in our minds, try to predict the effect of failure. And what we do, we just discourage ourselves more and more. What's true that in Mark's case, there was an immediate effect, an immediate effect that he didn't want. The Bible says that Paul and Barnabas designed a second missionary journey. Barnabas said to Paul, "Hey, let's take Mark with us." But Paul said, "No, I'm not going to take Mark. He deserted us on our first journey, and so I'm not taking him on this second journey." In fact, the contention was so severe that Barnabas and Paul separated, and Barnabas went in one direction on a missionary journey, and Paul went another. But Mark didn't go with Paul anymore. So Mark missed the opportunity to become Paul's right-hand man. But still, God wasn't through with Mark. Brother, sister, God isn't through with you. You quit telling yourself that God doesn't want you anymore, that your failures are so severe that God is through with you. He's finished with you. No, that's not true. God wasn't through with Mark. He still needed a written biography of His Son, Jesus Christ. So God continued His work in Mark. Let's read Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13.
For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose.
Listen to what it says about you. It says God is at work in you. It doesn't say God has walked off from you. God has forsaken you. God's given up on you. He didn't give up on Mark. He continued His work in Mark, just like He's continuing His work in you. It is God who works in you, both to will and to act according to His good purpose. So you see, God shows the effect of Mark's failure. And brother, sister, if you'll bring your failures to God, God will choose beneficial effects of things that you messed up. God will choose something good out of the bad caused by your failure. You are not a failure. You did fail, but God's going to use it in your favor. In fact, brother, sister, keep reminding yourself, everything's in your favor. There's a beautiful verse in Daniel. I'm going to have Dolores help me find the verse. It's Daniel chapter number 7. I think it's verse number 22. One of my favorite verses that describes how God feels about you and me. 7:22, I think. The Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints. That is correct. It's Daniel chapter 7, verse 22. The Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. So you can put your name in there. The Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in failure of Mark, of John, of Carlos. The Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in our favor. So if God is in your favor, everything's in your favor. Get your mind off those failures. He'll choose good effects of the failures you surrender to Him. Quit self-accusation. Quit belittling yourself. Quit beating yourself black and blue in your thoughts, in your meditation, in your memory. Go on with your life. So God took Mark, who had deserted Jesus. Mark, who had deserted Paul and Barnabas. God took him, continued his work in Mark's life. And finally, purposefully chose Mark to write the first gospel of Jesus. You are blessed 2,000 years after Mark lived because Mark didn't give up on himself. God didn't give up on him. God doesn't intend to give up. God never has thought of giving up on us. It never entered his mind. But he continues his work in us. So God took Mark, inspired Mark to write this gospel that is a blessing to millions of people for 2,000 years. Who knows what good things God will bring out of your failure? Who knows what good thing God will bring out of your mistakes? God is working in your behalf. God is working in your behalf. In fact, I want to give you what I call shouts of victory in the face of our failures. Shouts of our victory in the face of failure. Failure is such a cruel enemy, a cruel slave master. But we're going to give you some verses from the Bible that will help us, everyone, deal effectively and victoriously with our failures. A little Old Testament book, Micah, M-I-C-A-H. Please write that down if you can. Micah chapter 7, verse number 8. Here it says,
"Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light."
Do not gloat over me, my enemy, failure. Do not gloat over me, my enemy, mistake. Actually, the mistake and failure are not your enemy. It's the memory of them that is your enemy. But he says, don't gloat over me, my enemy. Don't sneer. Don't laugh at me as if I am hopeless. Listen to the words. Let's read it again. Don't gloat over me, my enemy. And then it goes on and says,
though I have fallen, I will rise.
Listen to that. Though you have fallen, you can arise. You will arise. It doesn't say you might. You can if you try real hard. It says you will arise. And then listen to the last part of the verse.
Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light.
Though you sit in the darkness of confusion, though you sit in the darkness and the pain of heartache, God will be your light. So use that verse, my brother, sister. Use that verse against your memories of failure and conquer those memories. Look with me, Philippians, please, chapter 1, verse number 12. Here Paul was in prison. In fact, he was facing possible execution. But he wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, this victorious verse.
Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel.
Paul said, my arrest, my trials, my imprisonment, what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. So, brother, sister, God will use all of our failures, all of our mistakes, all of our stumbling. He will use it to advance His purposes for our lives. You are not a failure. You are a success on your way to more success. Let's read a picture of God's finished project many, many, many years after Paul and Mark separated because of Mark's failures. Paul wrote about Mark. Here's the elderly brother Paul writing, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11.
Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry.
Paul wrote to Timothy and said, bring Mark because he is helpful to me in my ministry. You see, God finished his work in Mark, and Mark actually became a blessing to Paul. God never leaves a job half done. He always carries out to completion all he planned for you. Let's go on. Let's remove finality from failure. Pray with me, please. Jesus, thank you for being so faithful to us. Thank you for being so reliable. Jesus, now I pray for all these folks who are listening today that you would help them to have faith in you, faith that you can bring forth good from our failures. In the name of Jesus, we love you and thank you for our victories. Amen.